When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What would you say if I told you there's a book that can teach you how to win The Bachelor?
What would you say if I told you producers caught multiple finalists reading that book in this season that's currently airing?
What would you say if I told you the producers don't want anyone to know that their show has been compromised?
How do we know all this? We wrote that book.
I'm Lizzie Pace.
And I'm Chad Colchin.
We're the authors of How to Win the Bachelor and the hosts of the Game of Roses podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where we break down all the biggest plays, errors, and MVPs in the game of reality television.
Listen to Game of Roses wherever you get your podcasts and go to howtowinthebachelor.com to get our book.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. Well, we used to. Now. Streaming, whatever. Right, so today we're going to watch Palm Springs.
Yeah, so basically, a lot of people said it was a good movie. People we trust have really recommended it, and we found out today it's on Amazon Prime. So here we go. Yep. Going to watch it.
And that's where our investigation stopped, because as soon as we get recommended something and decide to watch it, we don't look at a synopsis, we don't look at a trailer, don't look at anything, because I want to go in fresh. If this is good, so basically this bit of the podcast is redundant because I have no expectations.
However,
I don't know anything about it.
I have found out a few things you may be interested to know.
I know Andy Samberg's in it, right?
Andy Samberg's in it. Which is a good sign, I think. He's really good. But also Kristen Milotti, who you may know as the mother in How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah.
And crucially, it's 90 minutes long.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so there we go.
What do you think it's about? Let's wildly speculate.
What
sort of movie do you think it is?
I know it's set at a wedding in Palm Springs. That's all I know about the plot.
Okay.
And I know Andy Samberg's in it, and so I'm guessing it's a comedy set at a wedding.
I'm going the other way. I'm saying... This is the one where they'll say a career-defining performance for Andy Samberg. This is the one, you know, that's the movie where the comedy actor proves himself to be a dramatic actor.
Well, it annoys
me. That's what
me.
This will be. And it'll be a really deep, intense 90 minutes.
I think Andy Samberg's a really good actor and could do that. I don't think that's this movie. But thirdly, it really annoys me that award season always focuses so much around dramatic roles and not comedic roles. So that's a by the by. But I don't agree with you whatsoever. I think that's wrong. I think it's going to be a rom-com. Okay. Can't wait, because I absolutely love...
I mean, I'm up for a rom-com.
A 90-minute movie, but I'll also take a serious movie. But most of all,
I think this is an indie darling. I bet you it's an indie darling.
It might be. I'm just happy there's a new movie out. We're really struggling to find films. You know what I mean? Like,
help us find films.
There used to be a place you could go to back in the olden days where someone picked the movies for you and what time they aired.
Yeah.
And you showed up, gave them your money... House. And then you just watch them on a big screen. And someday we shall do that again.
Sounds weird.
Yeah, it does sound weird.
You just give some stranger your money? They show you a movie you don't know anything about?
Anyway, we shall be back. We're going to watch Palm Springs now. And we'll be back tomorrow with our review.
Yes. See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
It's going to be a beautiful wedding.
Here you are. Standing on the precipice of something so much bigger than anyone here. But always remember, you are not alone.
I don't think that we met. I'm Sarah.
Niles.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice.
What the fuck is happening?
Run, rabbit, run.
Niles?
Don't come in here!
Hi, we're back. We're out for a walk. We saw Palm Springs. Pam? Do you say Pam or Palm?
You say Palm Springs. I can't say it now. Palm Springs, which we watched last night and thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, oh, it's excellent.
It was great.
It's really
laugh.
Good. It was a comedy. Yeah. Kathy was right.
It was so enjoyable.
It's not a coming of age depressing movie or whatever.
Now, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to go into the plot, but let's save her for spoiler street.
Well, I would recommend, I would say the way that I was rabbiting on about earlier about knowing nothing about this movie, that's the way to watch this.
Yeah, it was such a the plot was a huge surprise. Yeah.
And I'm sure if you read a synopsis that it'll tell you exactly what the plot is. And honestly,
because I just looked on IMDb.
Well, there you go. So if you, like, to me, the first 10 minutes of this movie where I discovered what the synopsis was a joy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what's going on?
It's so fun. And it is set at a wedding. And it is actually kind of a rom-com, but it's also got loads of other stuff. And...
Recommend. I'm going to recommend this movie now. So if you haven't watched it, go watch it and don't listen to come back and listen to this later, because you don't need to know anything else except that it's good and you should watch it and it's worth your time. And that is all you need to know these days, because trailers and synopses are filled with spoilers now.
But
you can't
anyway,
trust them.
Sorry, there's like a piercing alarm behind us. If you like Andy Samberg, like, you'll like this movie, and his production company, Lonely Island Productions, like, made it. It's that kind of vibe. It's like this,
which
some
I didn't
naughty,
know was a production
I didn't
company.
Know either. But like, kind of a naughty humor, but some other
naughty humor.
Like, that's how I would describe their humor.
Sorry,
right?
What age are you?
Like, there's a crass scene in the very opener of this that was funny, was very crass, and directly in line with how I view Andy Samberg's humor.
Okay,
what do you think?
I think overall this isn't a departure from Andy Samberg as I had speculated earlier. It's very much, it feels like he's still in his wheelhouse.
And I don't mind cross humor, by the way. That's what's in it.
Yeah,
I really
but it's also
it.
This isn't a bawdy American Pie style romp either.
Not at all.
I mean, sure, there's a few crass moments, but it's got a lot of heart.
It's very impactful.
So no spoilers, no actual spoilers here, but we presume if you're at this bit, you just want to know what the film's about generally.
Yeah.
Right? Which isn't a spoiler. I feel like I've created an extra level of spoilers. Complete lack of awareness of a movie, some awareness of what it's about. And
this
that's where
we're
at.
This is pre-spoiler street.
So this is essentially, what is the synopsis? Can I say you've seen it, so what can we talk about before spoilers?
I mean, the synopsis is that Andy Samberg is at a wedding with his girlfriend. And so, and Kristen Milani, aka the mom from How I Met Your Mother, is the bride's sister. And they meet under strange circumstances, and the circumstances become even stranger, and that's all I'm saying.
Oh, is that what the synopsis is?
That's not what the synopsis is.
All right, okay.
That's my synopsis.
So let's just talk generally before we get to spoiler street then about like what we liked about this movie and kind of what it is. I think I would put it as a sort of a... It is a romantic comedy, I'd say.
I would. I'm finding it hard to talk about without spoiling it, to be honest, so I think we should just get to spoiler street.
Fine, okay then.
Yeah.
We
both loved it. Go and watch
quickest episode ever.
Let's just get to spoiler street.
Just go watch it already, for God's
it's
sake.
It's on Amazon Prime, so if you have a subscription, like, you won't even, you know, aside from your regular monthly subscription, you won't even have to pay to watch it.
Yeah. It's a breeze. It's really good. It's inventive. Relatively.
Yeah.
Okay, so the spoilers now for Palm Springs. Spoilers. Okay, so the genre of this movie, I said rom-com, but actually this is one of those things where, like, Groundhog Day is a genre now, right?
Because Groundhog Day, when it was released, was probably called a rom-com, but now this is a take on Groundhog Day.
Yeah, and there's so many... It's an interesting case when a movie becomes a genre, right? So Groundhog Day has created... a genre of movies where people just time loop, right?
Like Andy Samberg says in this, you know, we're caught in like a classic time loop. And she's like, you say that as if that's a normal thing.
Yeah, they're almost they're one breath away from saying a Groundhog Day situation. And Freaky Friday, no, not Freaky Friday. What was the one with the horror movie where she was living the same
Happy
day?
Happy Birthday or something like that.
Yeah, Happy Death Day.
Yeah,
that was it.
I really enjoyed that.
Happy Death Day. Does that calls out Groundhog Day in it. Have you not seen Groundhog Day? Right, that's the kind of
if it happened to us now, like if we woke up and it was the same day as yesterday, we would feel okay with it because we would conceptually understand it, whereas in Groundhog Day the poor guy had to figure it out all by himself.
Yeah.
But now it's like a known thing.
Yeah,
but
what
the movie's
what...
so clever though, because the movie's, this is where I think it's a really clever like step on from Groundhog Day, because we see a whole day in the life of Andy Samberg before we realise he's in a time loop and he has been in it for eons.
Yeah.
By the time we meet him.
So clever. He's been there for so long he doesn't remember what his job was. Which is like, and actually,
it's a great touch.
Fun fact though, the Harold Ramis, who directed Groundhog Day, had wanted that to be the start of the movie Groundhog Day. Something similar, where you meet Phil Connors and he's been in there
Phil Connors.
He's been in there for 10,000 years. Literally, that was the time frame that he's been in there, and he's just a god. It's the scene you get in the middle of the movie where he's walking through the town. He's like lifting bags off the back of an armored car.
Yeah.
Like he's lifting bags of money, and he's just like walking around like a god. And you're like, what is up with this guy? And then they tell you what's happened.
But Groundhog Day walked so Palm Springs can run. Because they skip all of that, and we get like at the very first day when we're watching him at the wedding and he's doing this dance number, and I said to Dave, because we didn't know the plot, and I was like, okay, he's in a dream or something's gone funny here, because why is Andy Samberg able to do this dance number that was so well choreographed, where he's like behind people mirroring their moves? Like, I love all that stuff, and I love that he couldn't remember his job, and like, I love that he's seen his girlfriend cheat on him so many times. He's like, nothing could keep them apart. Like, he's shipping their relationship now. Like, he's like so happy for the girlfriend. I love that. Like, we find out quite darkly later on. It was interesting with him and the love interest when she's like, so who have you fucked? And he's like, goes through all the people he's had sex with, and including this woman, like this kind of biker woman in the diner. And he was like, yes, she was amazing. And she goes, have we? And he's like, oh, I don't remember. I don't think so. And then it's really interesting because much later on in the movie he says to her, you know, we've had sex like 1,000 times. And it was such a philosophically interesting moment, because every time they have had sex, she has presumably consented, right? But in her memory, none of those times have happened, and he told her that he didn't think they had had sex. So she suddenly feels very vulnerable and exposed, because she has had sex with him like 1,000 times and she didn't remember. I found that such an interesting moment.
It's a very interesting dynamic, because she has consented to every one of those times, presumably, but there's a power dynamic at play which she isn't even aware of.
Yeah, like he says, every time I made that speech for you, you'd hook up with me.
Yeah, he knows how to get her to do something.
He's manipulated her, and it's always been my issue with Groundhog Day, where I've always thought it's really fucked up that, spoilers for Groundhog Day, but that Andy McDowell and, Phil Collins get together, because it's fucked up how he gets with her. It's like those guides that those men write on, like how to pull women. Like, I know Phil Connor goes through a philosophical change and he's a different person at the end of the movie when they get together, but it's kind of fucked up that he like fully crafts himself like just to hook up with her. And that's what I thought was interesting in that scene. But with Andy Samberg, I think though, with his character, we aren't to believe that. We kind of believe he's kind of similar to what he was when he first went in there.
Yes, and they even address
that. He wasn't an asshole at the start.
They address that at one stage quite early on, which I felt like it was a nod to Groundhog Day, where she speculates that maybe it's a karma thing. Maybe we need to go through a transformational change on a fundamental level, like, which is what Groundhog Day does.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, it's not that. No,
but he's like, I've tried everything. He's like, nothing. I just love that he's already tried everything. And then what really surprises both is that then she goes off and learns how to be a quantum physicist.
Oh my god, that was
amazing.
I love that. We got a training montage
again,
in the middle of this.
How much time did she spend doing that? Because we see her going from her very first tutorial to like how to understand basic physics to like having these incredible conversations.
I bought a New Scientist magazine in January on quantum physics, and I have yet to get through that or understand it. So I would say we're talking years, decades. Like, I love the idea that of what that would do to your mind.
Yeah.
This like, and Andy Samberg plays this really well. This nihilism, this sort of complete lack of meaning or purpose, and what that does to a person. If anything, he doesn't play it I think the reality of that would be far more horrifying.
Well,
sort of thing that he presents.
Because
yeah.
when she, I love the J.K. Simmons side plot, but when she runs J.K. Simmons over, he's like to her, people still feel pain, and like, trust me, you won't feel better if you make someone else feel pain. You're just hurting them in the moment. Like, what he's like, what you do isn't without an impact.
They won't remember, but you will.
Yeah, so he's actually like taking so many life lessons out of all this. And I just love the idea that J.K. Simmons was hunting him, and that it happened because they were like doing shrooms together or whatever. Yeah. And he goes, oh, I wish this night could last forever. And Andy Samberg brings him into this cave, which I really enjoyed.
It's so dark. It's dark what happens, what he does to both of them.
It's really, well, he doesn't do it intentionally to the woman, but he does do it intentionally to J.K. Simmons. But you could see why when he was so stoned that he thought it was a good idea. And I love that J.K. Simmons had woken up in a different place, so he only ever drives up every now and then when he's like really pissed off.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun ideas in this.
I love the night when they partied together. Like, that whole montage of them partying was so good.
God, there's a lot of fun in this. Like, it's very clever, but it's also like, on an executional level, it's a breeze of 90 minutes.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's very funny. And like,
and it puts in really good. So basically the plot twist is kind of like at the start of the movie, but then they keep layering these twists. Like when we realize about halfway through,
when
the
you realize
movie,
where she's waking up
at her sister's fiance's bed.
Yeah, that got us good.
That is so shocking for someone to do that to their sister.
And then it adds this other dark element where she's living with her shame
every
day
morning.
For years and years and years. Because that would be the most shameful moment you can imagine.
And it kind of makes you wonder about her, because you're like, God, she's so self-destructive to do this. And like, in one of them she goes, I need to be selfless and the truth will set me free. And in one of the wedding ceremonies she goes up, interrupts it, whispers to her sister and walks away. And we're like, I wonder what she told her. And then we kind of realise afterwards. And then I love when he does his detective work and he smells her hair mist. Hello, when he figures out where she's been. Like, I just think the pacing of it was so good, and I think the cast was brilliant. Like, I love them together. I felt like they were a real couple. Did you?
I was shipping them.
Yeah,
one of them
I was
to get
really
together.
Enjoying them. And I love the stuff with J.K. Simmons when he finally goes to J.K. Simmons' house, and J.K. Simmons is like, I'm over it, like, it's fine, you know, I get to watch my kid watering this piece of dog shit every day. It's really good stuff. And it's like those movies, like this, kind of not like this but in a different vein, like that movie About Time with Donald Gleeson. They always, the really good ones, make you reflect, like, if you had a day, how would you live it? And like, what would you do with your kids? And like, what would you do with your partner or your parents or whoever you're around?
I think you'd go insane no matter what. Like, we are effectively in lockdown living the same
day. We were like,
day.
This is our lives.
It's just like, and I just want variety.
Except
I want to
we're
do
not at a wedding.
Else. Yeah. Speaking of, we watched a movie in which we did an episode on called Love Wedding Repeat.
Last year, which is essentially
the same thing, but not as good.
This makes Love Wedding Repeat, we didn't think much of at the time anyway. We kind of enjoyed it for the sake of something to watch.
Yeah, but it was poor.
But when you look at it now compared to this, it's like an embarrassment. Like, I'm so embarrassed for them that the two movies came out in the same year, because I believe this kind of came out last year, but it's just on streaming this year. Like, it's mortifying to compare. Like, I think this has excellence in it. I think it's an excellent script. I think the acting's brilliant. I think the pacing is unbelievable, how they've thrown in these little plot twists and how they made it feel so fresh on a genre we've seen a million times, which is like wedding based rom-coms and things around time loops or repeated time or whatever.
But crucially, none of it can work if you don't care about the characters or about their relationship, which you do.
And you really care about them, even when they're both being awful, even you find out what she did to her sister. And I really liked that there was one scene also where she woke up and she goes in and actually speaks to the fiancé and he's in the shower, and then he started crying. It's like, he's not happy about it either. Like, people are layered.
They humanized the side characters.
Yeah, like, no one's gonna feel good about that situation. Like, why would you be marrying someone like under those circumstances?
They really mine all the comedy they can from their situation. Like, I loved all the bits of like Andy Samberg like hanging out in the kitchen while the parents are like, where is she? And Jimmy, and he's
so
he just lands all his philosophical stuff
he's
on them.
So good.
He doesn't care what anyone thinks, they're just like pawns to him.
And I love when he goes like, oh, your parents are singing again, because he's heard them sing. And then I love the little twist at the end where that old lady has actually been at the wedding every night as
well. What was that about?
It was just like a little nudge. It kind of made you think, oh, how many more people. It's so funny as well, because if you think about like the day you were to get stuck in over and over again, a wedding in the middle of the desert would be particularly bad, because there's only so far you can go away from it. So yeah, I do enjoy. I just think it was a frankly brilliant movie, and I was not expecting it to be that brilliant.
It's not a great title though.
No,
I feel
funny.
Like it's got nothing to do with the place.
It came up last year when a lot of our listeners were sending us in their favourite films of the year, and a few people said Palm Springs, and it never stuck in my mind or made me curious about the film when I heard the title. There was nothing interesting about that title. So yeah, I think, but it works, and it's kind of a film. I think
of something like Live, Die, Repeat. which I know was called End of Tomorrow, which is an awful generic title, but they reverted it back to Live, Die, Repeat, which is an awesome title.
What was the name of the wedding movie that we watched last year that you
Love
just
Wedding
mentioned?
Repeat.
Love so Wedding they just, Repeat.
They ripped it off.
Yeah, that could have been a better title for this movie, actually. Yeah. Maybe they'd taken it already. But yeah, I don't think of much else to say, really. Loved it.
Yeah.
And even if, I think even if you did know the plot, actually, you'd still really enjoy the movie anyway.
I think
all
so.
Done away
I think
within
so.
The
but,
first 10 minutes.
But I think that first 10 minutes of discovery was really enjoyable for us.
It was really enjoyable,
and that's the kind of thing you do you don't get when you kind of know when you. And the problem is trailers. If you're gonna like my approach with trailers is if I'm going to watch a movie, I will not watch the trailer. It
when
doesn't
we're in
add
the cinema, like we often get forced trailers, right? But because we never go to the cinema anymore. We've managed to
we're living in blissful ignorance.
Cloister ourselves from any form of trailer. So it's something I'll accept in a return to the cinema. I'll accept trailers as a payoff for being in the cinema again.
We'll accept your trailers, cinema.
But yeah, I hope everyone enjoys it as much as we did. And let us know what you thought about it. Send us a message on Twitter. We're at Cinema. On LinkedIn or Facebook at the
on
cinema.
On LinkedIn?
Not LinkedIn.
Are we on LinkedIn?
No.
Come apply for a job at the cinema.
We're on too tired.
We're hiring.
We're on Instagram. But most of all, if you could
a married couple and several other people walk home from the movie.
We pay nothing. And most of all, if you could head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and subscribe, we would greatly appreciate it. Or drop us an email, cinemail@gmail.com.
The
cinemail at linkedin.com.
The cinemail. Are you okay?
I'm not okay.
Do you want me to call somebody?
Do you want to get up in the middle of the night with a teething baby? Because you're more than welcome.
Thank you for listening to the cinemail. Well, okay, bye.
Bye.
Stop. There's a bomb in the cake.
Don't worry. I used to be a bomb guy.
Stand back.
It's gonna
be a beautiful wedding.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What would you say if I told you there's a book that can teach you how to win The Bachelor?
What would you say if I told you producers caught multiple finalists reading that book in this season that's currently airing?
What would you say if I told you the producers don't want anyone to know that their show has been compromised?
How do we know all this? We wrote that book.
I'm Lizzie Pace.
And I'm Chad Colchin.
We're the authors of How to Win the Bachelor and the hosts of the Game of Roses podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where we break down all the biggest plays, errors, and MVPs in the game of reality television.
Listen to Game of Roses wherever you get your podcasts and go to howtowinthebachelor.com to get our book.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.